to be up here. Seemed like it's been a long time since I had the opportunity to be up here. Got a couple little snippets for you here. Little Christian humor is what they call it. Part of it is serious. So it's a little funny, but you'll see. If God's your co-pilot, swap seats. Like Carrie Underwood, Jesus, take the wheel. If God's your co-pilot, swap seats. What do you call a priest that becomes a lawyer? A father-in-law. A father-in-law. A father-in-law. A priest that becomes a lawyer, a father-in-law. Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate Halloween. I guess they don't appreciate random people coming up to their door.
That's funny.
Now this is one that, this is one I really want you to hear and I want you to think about. I like Jesus, but he loves me, so it's awkward. Really need to see if that fits you. I like Jesus, but he loves me, so it's awkward. I don't like that one very much because maybe it hits a little too close to home. Do I love Jesus as much as he loves me? I don't think so. So this sermon God gave me a couple weeks ago, and it stayed the same. So I'm just going to do it. Let's pray. Lord, lead us through your word this morning, Father, and help us grow to be more of what you made us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of this sermon, question he asked me, what is a good Christian? What is a good Christian? Does that mean to don't lie, don't steal, or don't cheat? Is that what a good Christian is? Serve others. Does that make you a good Christian? To tithe. If you're a tither, does that make you a good Christian? What about if you're baptized? Does being baptized make you a good Christian? You go to church. You're here this morning. Does being at church make you a good Christian? It does help. And I'm not saying any of these are bad. They're just not the basis. They're not the basis of being a good Christian. They're parts. They're all parts. They're good parts. How about to serve on the praise team? Does that make you a good Christian?
No. Amen.
Becoming a preacher. Does becoming a preacher make you a good Christian? There's a lot of do's and don'ts. I could go on and on and on. You follow me with that trail, right? The do's, do you pray? You know, are you reaching out to others? Are you visiting the sick? Are you feeding the hungry? Are you clothing the naked? Are the ones that are half naked? Are you visiting them in jail? Are you doing that? The don'ts, don't commit sexual immorality. I bet at some point in everyone's life that has been an issue. We don't really know how to deal with that. We just don't. You know, some of the numbers that they talk about are churched men who will admit it is as high as 50% who struggle with porn. And it's not just men either. It's women also. So don't commit sexual immorality. If you don't commit any sexual immorality, does that make you a good Christian? What about if you don't gossip? If you're not a gossiper, does that make you a good Christian? So the Bible says, be ye not a lover of wine. What if you drink? What if you don't drink? What if you avoid drinking? Does that make you a good Christian? What about dancing? That's been a joke in the Baptist church for a long time. If you don't dance, that makes you a good Christian. Smoking weed. I don't think we can describe what you do as dance, Ronnie. More like wiggle or sway or... Okay, here's the answer. To be a good Christian, we must follow Christ. To be a good Christian, we must follow Christ. That's what makes us a good Christian, is if we follow Christ. What does that look like? What does he say about that? One of my favorite chapters in the entire book is John 14. The first scripture I'm going to use is John 14, 6 through 7. Jesus answered, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. I don't care what Islam says. I don't care what the Jehovah's Witnesses say. I care what Jesus Christ says. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, I take that back. I do care what those other religions say in as far as they are leading others in the wrong direction. They are leading them away from the fact that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, even though their Quran tells them that. The Quran says that Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Isn't that amazing? Even the Quran says that. Reading the Bible won't make you a good Christian either, will it? It sure will help. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, but it's not following Jesus Christ. Reading the Bible is not following Jesus Christ. You have to follow Jesus Christ to be following Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? Here's another one. So much of Luke is great. I'm going to be using a lot of this chapter if you want to turn there with me. Luke chapter 18. And I'm only going to be using through 17, but if I had time, I'd use the whole chapter. There's a lot more, and I'm probably going to. So I'm going to just start reading Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. Sound anything like our country today? And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? An unrighteous judge who just doesn't care what people think of him or whatever. He just gives in and provides the widow justice because she was persistent. So not giving up is part of what Jesus is calling us to do. To keep standing against the ones who don't care and who don't believe. Keep bringing him to them. Keep praying for them. Keep on keeping on. That's part of what Jesus is telling us to do there. This is one of my favorite. This next part, 9 through 14. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Are you confident of your righteousness? Are you confident of your righteousness? If you are, this is for you. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Sometimes we as Christians can get that righteousness. My righteousness is better than your righteousness. If that comes to your mind, if you think you're better than someone else, you better check. Because Jesus says right here that that's not the attitude to have. David says it a different way in Psalms 51. I prayed it this morning when we were out in the lobby. A humble and contrite heart, O Lord, you will not despise. A humble and contrite heart is a good place for us to be. And it tells us about it several times in Scripture. So if you ever feel like that you're better than someone else, you're in trouble. It even says for us to think of others as more than ourselves. There's a lot of things about how we should deal with others. And thinking that I am better than you is a bad place for Richard. To have this kind of heart, help me, Lord, help me, I'm a sinner. That's how he left justified in this parable. So what do you think is the better attitude to have? The second one, right? Help me, Lord. I need you, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. If I have that interaction with Jesus, if I have that interaction with God, I'm heading in a better direction. And so I have to guard my heart. I have to guard my mind. Because it's just not the things that the tax collector, the Pharisees was saying. You know, I could put that kind of braggadocious attitude on myself at any point in time. And it is bad, bad, bad. It is not good. Does Richard get extra points because he does prison ministry? No. Richard gets extra points because he has this attitude, I need you, Lord. It's not about what we do. It's about who he is. It's about following him. It's about recognizing and realizing who he is and what he did for us. Now, if we continue to do that, all these other things that I've mentioned before are fruit of that. You will know them by their fruit. We will not be committing sexual immorality. We will be tithing. We will be serving others. We'll be doing all those other things if we keep the first part right. But we can't depend on all those other things to be what brings us into right relationship with God. It's only working on that right relationship with God that we are good Christians. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. The disciples saw this. They rebuked him. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let these little ones come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Next one, very important. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. This isn't the first time I've said this, but whenever I first recognized what he was saying here, he gave me the vision of children playing with bubbles. I have a couple granddaughters. I love blowing bubbles with little kids around. What do? They start popping and laughing, and they don't care who's doing what. Their focus is on having joy and catching those bubbles. They're not worried about what's for lunch or what their mom's doing or what. They're not worried about any of that. They're focused on the bubbles. I think it's a beautiful illustration of us coming to Christ as a child. He is the exciting, magnificent, wonderful, most awesome. To do what he did for me, if I got him in second place, I'm in the wrong place. Whatever I put in first place, I'm not being a good Christian. And that is a full-time job with me. I don't know about you, but I get distracted. I will get angry. I'll get my feelings hurt. There'll be a fantasy football game that I need to tend to. I told my son the other day, I said, I love it. I'm enjoying all this. But I tell you what, I put too much time in it. I don't want anything to be an idol in my life except Jesus Christ. But it gets there so often, so many times. Now see, that's a perfect example of confessing, asking, and talking about it. If I'm not examining my ways and testing them and returning to the Lord, I'm not following him as much as I should. Where else do I need to check myself? Where do you need to check yourself? What is it? You got to know the answer to that. It's not me. I can offer some suggestions if you ask me. Maybe I am offering suggestions now without saying your name. Is any of this hitting home with you? So the next part of that, I am going to talk about it a little bit. Famous parable, the rich young ruler. What do I need to do to be saved? Give it all away, go serve others. And he went away sad because he had much. His stuff got in the way. At least his stuff got in the way that day. Lord, I really want to serve you, but. Lord, I really want to follow you, but. What but do you put in the way whenever you have that conversation with the Lord? Caught that, did you? Yeah. Me too. But Lord, I need this weed. It calms me down. But I deserve to have a drink every once in a while. I work hard. There's some people, I believe, that can have a drink every once in a while and not be alcoholic. Not everybody on the planet drinks like I do. Did. I don't today. I have in the past. So you have to decide if it's drawing you to be a good Christian or if it's drawing you to not be a good Christian. And I've let so many things step in between me and that idea of being a good Christian. Heck, I've done it in some conversations with my wife. I've done it in conversations with my kid. I've done it in actions at work. There's nowhere in my life that I could point to and I can go, I have never taken any action that caused me to be a bad Christian in this situation. I don't even know if I can say I did it at a funeral. I've done one of my uncle's when I'm doing officiating a funeral. I did my uncle's funeral one time, and there were some people there that had done some things that I knew weren't. They were kind of like buzzards at a funeral. You ever had a family member die and buzzards show up before the body's even cold? Sometimes they show up while the body's still alive. One of my friends put on a post, his mom's passing away, and there's people getting in touch with him, want to know what they're going to do with his mom's house. Well, his mom's still alive. People. That's what people do. That's what people do. So even while I'm officiating a funeral, I have been a not-so-good Christian. Now, I tried to do it in a loving way and shared it to the family, but I knew in my heart what was going on, in my head what was going on. What's in my heart and what's in my head are the most important things between me and Jesus Christ. Where am I at? Am I following him? Am I asking him for his help? Or am I saying, okay, step back, Lord, I got this one. Yeah, some people are laughing. Am I a little familiar there, huh? The but gets in the way. I love you, Lord, but I want to be what you want me to, but you don't know what she said to me. You don't know how they treated me. You don't know what he said to me. You don't know how I feel about that person. Really? You know, you can find a lot of information in a lot of places. You can hear things that just make you go, whoa. I remember watching the Skit Guy's Masterpiece video. And at one point he says, Lord, I've just let you down too many times. And the Lord turns to him and says, my child, you were never holding me up. It makes sense. It makes sense to come to another awakening about my relationship with God and with the Lord. And there's only two directions I'm going. I'm either going closer to him or further away. That's it. And I'm the biggest determiner of which direction that is. How am I going to respond? How am I going to act? How am I going to treat you? How am I going to deal with all the stuff that life is throwing at me? Right now we're going on 3 weeks that my wife has not been feeling well at all. I basically have to hold her nose and make her open her mouth to get something in it. And I'm just painting that picture. I'm not really doing that, but she feels so bad she doesn't want to eat. She's nauseous when she does. She's nauseous when she thinks about it. That is frustrating, scary, painful, not only for her but for me. I've dealt with that pretty negatively in the past. I'm getting better. Now it is, what can I do? How can I help? Is there anything that you, I told her right before I left the house this morning, I can promise you this, if you see a Sunday when I'm preaching and my wife's not here, she's not feeling well. So she's not feeling well. We could use your prayers. But when I left the house today, it was, call me if you think of something that sounds good for you to eat. I'll get it, bring it, cook it, I'll do whatever. That's my wife. She should be number two. Jesus Christ should be number one, and my wife should be number two. It's not always that way, especially inside my head. Oh, my gosh, I'm so sick of her being sick. You think it'd do any good for me to say that to her? Don't you think she probably feels bad enough about it already? I know she does. I know she does. I have to have the right heart to deal with those situations. The ones that are most personal to me, the relationships that are most personal to me, are the ones who can throw me off the quickest. Because I get my feelings hurt. I get angry. I'll get afraid. What's my best option? Trust God. Ask him to help me. That is my best option. It's my best option at work. It's my best option at church. It's my best option everywhere on this planet. Trust God and ask him to help me. There is evidence, by the way, that that rich young ruler had a change of heart and actually contributed to the burial costs of Jesus. It's just some other things that I have learned and heard. It's not actually in the word that this rich young ruler did these things, but it's a pretty well-known thing that he did. I don't know that to be true, but the idea of him turning later with the information that he was given, dwelling over it in his head, because he obviously loved the Lord. He was trying to figure out how to do better and be better, right? He was trying to figure it out. He was asking Jesus, what am I missing? Jesus told him, you got stuff in the way. You think being rich has anything to do with whether you're a good Christian or not? How you feel about that money does, but it's not the determining factor of whether you're a good Christian or not. Back to John 14. Jesus tells us, bottom line in it, right in your face, what being a good Christian looks like, following him. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Can you follow them without knowing what they are? Maybe. Holy Spirit can lead you to. The natural flesh answer would be, no, you can't follow them without knowing what they are. Truth is, the Holy Spirit can convict us and lead us to follow his commands, even if we aren't recognizing that they're commands written down in the Scripture. I don't have the Bible memorized, do you? I mean, I know some things that he says to do. I know some things that he says not to do, but I don't have it all memorized. I know some of my favorite, Matthew 25, when it says, if you feed my sheep. John 14:23, another bottom line in it. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. Again, we got to know his teachings. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. If we do what Jesus says to do, they come to us, make their home with us. The Holy Spirit is not just with us, it is in us. And it turns right around in John 14:23. I didn't put this, I don't think, on a slide. But I'm going to read them together. I'm going to read. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Jesus' bottom line's what a good Christian is. If you love me, you'll follow my teachings. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love me, you won't. Wow. Is it really that simple? Jesus said it was, didn't he? If you love me, you'll follow my teachings. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love me, you won't. The good news is he doesn't expect us to do that on our own strength. Because he knows us. He really knows us. He knows how we think. He knows how we act. He knows how we talk. He knows everything about us. He knew us before we were knitted together in our mother's womb. That's how well he knows us. That's why it's so important that we return to him again and again and again for that direction, that recharge, that same attitude that the sinner had in the temple. Let me read it again. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So there are some things that are very positive about us. We are trying to love the Lord. We get up and come to church when it's 40 degrees. We don't know if there's a parking spot because we're running late, but we're coming anyway. We came. That's a positive thing. We want to know more about the Lord. We want to get closer to God. We want to do the right thing. We want to pray. We want to love. We want to serve. At least many of us do. If you're searching for a place to serve, let me know. We'll figure something. We'll get you serving. We'll help you. It's an awesome reward situation. We serve because we love the Lord, but then we get all these benefits. I can't tell you how many hugs and thank yous and all these things that I get from all these things that I do that they're grateful that I do it. Well, the reason that I do it isn't because they're grateful and say good job and how. The reason that I do it is because, help me, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know who I really am. I know that he died on the cross for me, shed his blood, went through all that pain and torture so that I could be forgiven of all that sinning that I'd done, that I do, that I am. Becoming a Christian did not stop me from sinning. I sin less. I sin in different ways. But I'm still a sinner. This prayer fits me. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I need you. It's not the good things that you're doing or have done that are the problem. Those are good things. Let's just go ahead and stamp them. Good. It's good that you pray. It's good that you help. It's good that you love the Lord. It's the other things that I want to talk to you about right now. What is it that you're not surrendering to him? What is it that you're not asking him to help you with? Is it your judgmental attitude? Is it your controlling spirit that you really, it'll just be better if I make it this way because they need me to do this. Do you think God loves them as much as he loves you? He does. So the best way, let me use this example. A woman's really angry, she's really frustrated, and she's really into it. You go, calm down. Do you think it works to tell an upset woman to calm down? It's the same thing as if trying to tell a practicing homosexual, you're going to hell because you're a homosexual. You think that's going to change their life, their heart? You think it's going to sway them? Oh my God, I'm going to stop then. You think your judgmental, angry attitude is going to sway them to follow the Lord? Love will. Love will help. Love will help you pray for them. Love will help you pray for them, asking the Lord to reveal himself to them to change their direction, their life. Same thing with people that have had abortion. The pro-life people make me sick. They think it's okay to tear a baby apart in the mother's womb. Can't stand it. I've worked with enough women who have had abortions to know that when that procedure is over, it ain't done. They deal with it the rest of their lives. I hurt for them. Telling someone who believes abortion is okay that it's not okay is not going to change their mind. They believe what they believe. It's going to take something bigger than me or you to change their mind and to change the direction of this world. If you really want to be a good Christian, we have to pray for them. We have to love them. We have to ask God to help both sides. Ask God to help me help them. Ask God to help them see the wrong of their ways. And that applies to everything. People that are hooked on drugs are not going to get off drugs just because you say, you really shouldn't be using drugs. You think they don't know that? He's with us. He loves us. He died for us. He made a way for a person like me. For a person like you. Oh, the wretched man that I am. Oh, the wretched you that you are. Are you the Pharisee? Are you the one standing on your righteousness, your works? Is that you? Or are you the one that says, Lord, help me, I'm a sinner? So I want you to take just a minute or two right now as the band comes up. And I want you to examine our, this is what the scripture says. Let us examine our ways and test them and let us return to the Lord. I want you to examine your ways right now. And let's put off the things that we pretend that make us a good Christian. Let's grow in the knowledge of what really makes us a good Christian and work on our heart condition. Ask him to help us. Ask him to help this wretched world that we live in. There's some divides in this country today. This wall is not the problem. It is a problem. It's not the problem. When you see who's really running the border right now, it is the cartels. They say who goes over, who does not. Let's pray for the cartels. Let's pray for the people that are under their thumbs. Let's pray for the people who don't have a bathroom to go to and toilet paper to use. There's people just a few hundred miles, they're probably closer than that, that don't have a place to go to the bathroom and don't have toilet paper. There's some people in bad situations in this country, and the answer is not Richard or Rafi or Buck or Ronnie. It's Jesus Christ. So let us examine our ways and test them. I want you to put off all those outside things. I want you to focus inwardly on yourself. Ask yourself, what is it that I need to put off? What is my attitude that's in the way? Thank you, God, for the good things that I'm doing, but help me see the bad. Help me see what I need to repent from, turn from, confess. And that's how we become better Christians. By examining our ways, testing them, and laying that stuff in front of the Lord. Let's do that right now while the band plays. The pastors are going to be up front. If you would like to talk with us about something, now's your time.